One-on-One with Regional One Health is your inside look at how we're building healthier tomorrows for our patients and our community. Join us for expert insight that empowers you to achieve a lifetime of better health. Today, we're talking to Dr. Yemise Emere-Uwa'anu, Dr. Yemi, to her patients. She's a pediatrician who sees patients at Regional One Health's Hollywood Primary Care Practice. With back to school coming up, she's here to share some advice for how to make it a healthy school year. Greetings, Dr. Yemi. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Amanda. I really appreciate it, and I'm honored.
Well, it's an honor to have you back, and a treat. Now, as we look at a school starting in the fall, one thing I'm hearing about are school physicals. You know, we didn't have those regularly when I was a kid. Are school physicals important?
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely they are, especially in these times that we're having more recurrent infections, we're having new viruses, we're having some of them coming back that we thought we were fully immunized against. And then we're in a new generation of children growing up in the digital age where they have phones and computers and a lot of stuff that might be a detriment to their health. And that might also cause some sort of imbalance to school and maladjustments to school. So a physical definitely before school is important.
And helps keep kids healthy. What about immunizations? What shots do kids need for school?
Well, as you know, and I know most of the general population knows this, we had COVID 3 years ago. Right now, thankfully, it's not as bad as it was in 2020. So keeping them up to date on the COVID vaccination, or if they've not had a COVID at all, a parent can consider that. But more importantly is the influenza vaccines, the flu vaccines that we call, in making sure they're up to date, because all the kids been out May, June, July, and they're coming to August, and we don't know what pathogens each cat might be carrying. So it's important for parents to protect their children, especially since now they're going to be within the same confined space with other kids. So flu vaccine is very important for them to get that. And if any child that is not vaccinated or is not up to date with the immunizations, this is the time to get that, especially with the school-age kids, the 4-year-old, the 5-year-old, the 6-year-old kids going to kindergarten or first grade, and then those going to middle school. This is the time to catch up on all those vaccines, so it reduces the risk of infection when they get to school.
Dr. Yemi, despite all that, when school gets going, especially in the winter months, kids do tend to get sick. So when should you keep a sick child home from school, and when is it okay to let them go?
Typically, most schools, and the country is very good with that as far as giving criteria to parents on when to bring the child to school, how soon or how long to keep the child home from school. But typically, we usually advise if your child has a fever, keep him home from school until he's fever-free after 24 hours. So 24 hours being fever-free, that's one. If the child has a rash that you do not know much about, it's best to keep the child home from school until cleared by the pediatrician or by any provider. Vomiting, diarrhea, because those are fluids, right? So it becomes a challenge. Teachers and caregivers trying to keep up with keeping everything clean and keeping the child healthy and keeping other kids protected. So fever, keep them home from school till after 24 hours of being fever-free. A rash, make sure you see your doctor about that and go back to school until when you're clear to go. Vomiting, diarrhea, keep your kids home from school.
Okay, so what about seeing the pediatrician? You just mentioned for a rash, you should go to the doctor. When else does a sick child need to be checked by their doctor?
Everything else I mentioned. Sorry, I didn't mention it earlier. So fever, vomiting, diarrhea. We know common things occur commonly, and it could be maybe a viral thing. But you do not want your child to be that 1 in 10 or 1 in 100 that has a more serious illness. So you want to take them to see a doctor. At least you're reassured that it's not something worse or something that has a coexisting comorbid situation. So you always want to check with the doctor and see your provider within the first 24 to 48 hours of the symptoms start occurring.
You also counsel patients about things like nutrition, emotional health, sexual health. How does that evolve as a child grows up? And how does that help them stay healthy?
So that's a great question, Amanda, because I like your word evolve, because the counseling or the recommendations or the education we give a child that is less than 5 with respect to eating and nutrition is a little bit different from a teenager's because the content of what they take is a little different. Of course, sex education is not something we would typically do with a five-year-old. So I like the word use, evolve, and it does evolve. It evolves in a way that whatever we tell them as pediatricians is relevant to that developmental age. And so for all ages, we do talk about nutrition. We talk about sleep. We talk about a routine. We talk about school performance because we know school performance affects a child's health and vice versa. And then when we get to the teenagers, then we start to talk about puberty and we start to talk about being exposed to sexual activity. We start to talk about changes, anatomic changes that happen with them. And so, like I said, it evolves. For the younger kids, we talk always, all the time with their parents and we talk with the child if the child understands. Like the seven-year-old, we talk about the diet, having a balanced meal, having a healthy meal, not skipping meals. We say the same thing to the teenagers. We talk about exposure to the phones, to the iPads, to the computers, to the games. We talk about that. And that conversation evolves to be relevant to that age. And we get to the teenagers and we also talk about substance use because it's important because that also affects academics. It affects their whole being able to flourish at home, at school or any environment, making right decisions. So we talk about tobacco, about alcohol. We talk about safe sexual practices because we do see that now in teenagers. So all of that counsel and advice and recommendations evolve and it's typically a joint thing with the parent. Certain things, by the time the teenager is older, legally, certain things you do not need to discuss with the parents, you know, and things like sexual practices or use of contraception or transmitted infection or pregnancy. So for that, you can have a chat with a teenager and talk with the parent if the child says it's okay. And so we always tailor it to their age and their development. And like I said, for the younger ones, it's a joint discussion with the parent because you need the parent to understand so they can get on board with the health plan. And that way they can work with the child at home, whatever it is we recommend.
That's really great. You can be that sort of liaison between parents and kids and another adult for children to talk to about health concerns. Dr. Yemi, thank you so much for your insights and advice on how to make it a healthy school year as we grow.
If I can just add one thing, because now schools are starting, a lot of schools you have within a few days to a week or 2 weeks, you know, across the school districts. And so one thing I've been telling parents and I always do is, number one, you have to start reestablishing your school routine. You don't reestablish it on a school day. So you have to get into that school routine, especially sleep. Because now we're seeing kids sleeping 12 midnight at 4 a.m. That is not healthy for them. They do not concentrate in school. They're distracted. And so as parents, we have to start reestablishing that school time routine. And number one is sleep, adequate sleep. Number two, we have to also reestablish healthy diet. I know it's been summer break. We've had a lot of candy, a lot of juices, a lot of snacks. Now we have to get down to three meals a day, no skipping meals and that. And that's what I just wanted to mention. And of course, now we're seeing the whole rush. Parents rushing, try to beat the deadline for schools to get their short records. And a lot of offices, I know right now, everybody's busy with that. And so try to get those vaccines in as soon as you can. A lot of people have 1 week to do that. If your pediatrician or your provider can get it, the health department is an option. Don't be discouraged. And you can always have a chat with your pediatrician, you know, if they can just come in just for the vaccines and do the full comprehensive or chat later. But you have to figure out what works so you don't miss out on your vaccines and protecting your child.
Well, I think you've just illustrated, Dr. Yemi, a great way your pediatrician can also be your partner.
Yes, thank you. You got it.
That was Dr. Yemise Emere-Uwa'anu, pediatrician at Regional One Health. For an appointment with Dr. Yemi at Hollywood Primary Care, call 901-515-5500. Thanks for making One-on-One with Regional One Health part of your journey to better health. I'm Amanda Wilde, inviting you to join us next time as we cover another topic to keep you on the path to a healthier tomorrow.